Welcome to the Aligned Podcast, hosted by Jess, spiritual medium and intuitive healer, and Allie, intuitive astrologer. A conversation between friends sharing our experiences as we navigate a purposeful life aligned, rooted in earth and guided by our intuition. Together, we'll talk about what it's like to be in flow with the universe, sharing the tools and wisdom that we've used to access our intuition, trust the pings, and bring forth healing into our daily lives. You were born with this innate ability to tap into your inner wisdom. We'll discuss how to clear the fears, limiting beliefs that keep you from accessing your highest potential. Our intention is to provide support and create a community for anyone curious about their own spiritual path, regardless of where you're at in your journey. Thanks for joining us and enjoy the episode. Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to the Aligned Podcast. This is Allie.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Jess.
Hello, Jessica.
We're so happy to be back. I feel like we haven't done a you and me episode.
I know.
In a minute.
I know. We had,
right?
Yeah, we had Allison Charles on last episode, which was so incredible. We wanted to give you guys some time to marinate, to let her
feminine goddess energy.
Powerful shaman.
Yeah. She's amazing.
Yeah.
But we are lounged up here on Allie's bed post our new moon circle, our new moon in Aquarius. Yeah. We tried recording earlier today and we just didn't have it in us.
Yeah. This energy is intense. It's a lot. Very potent. And so we were hosting our moon circle this evening.
We had a nap.
But both Jess and I have been really, really feeling this energy very intensely. Mm-hmm. And I think like 2 weeks ago you had quite an intense integration period. It's been sort of unfolding since then. And then this week I've been just like nailed. So
I know. Well, the last time we were together, we were just sort of sharing our journey into a cleanse.
Yeah.
And so we were feeling the effects of, you know, just that purge that you go through when you're cleansing your body of harmful organisms.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Let's just be real. We did a parasite cleanse, guys. And yeah, we both had very different experiences with it.
Oh my God. Well, let me just backtrack a little bit more because, Scarlett, who I'm sure you guys will meet very soon. She's a holistic nutritionist and an intuitive healer. She put me on this protocol, and it's, I guess, would you call it the medical medium protocol?
Yeah, it's. I think it's rooted in medical medium.
Yeah,
you know, knowledge and philosophy. But
yeah, and honestly, I really love everything that I brought in from that, like all of the little herbs and the vitamins and, you know, and it wasn't as hard, I thought, like for me to release some of that stuff. Like as far as the food was concerned, I was really concerned about porn. You know that.
Yeah. I know. I think that was the hardest thing you had. You
were corn. But for whatever reason, I kind of like was okay with it. And so I think I was on that protocol for about 3 weeks before we integrated the harmful organism cleanse that Scarlett was like, I don't know if you need to do that. I was like, I feel like I do. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't with her. Allie and I just went rogue. But and then that kind of led me into my trip with my dad. So here I am going to Texas where those diets are not very easy to come by.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm so glad that I started that cleanse. Again, everything happens just as it should. Everything's divine timing, because I think that like my system was already like purging a lot of not only emotional stuff, but like think about what gets trapped in your gut.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Like those deep emotional wounds. And for me, I am somebody who stores a lot of my emotions in my stomach. But then going to my dad's, it was, you know, an incredible trip. But when I got home, I think I was purging even more and I felt it. That like big time. I needed to integrate and I just needed to just be
right. Yeah.
Yeah. When we're processing, or, you know, we're doing these healings and, you know, going through these, having these experiences on the physical plane that are allowing us to work through this, the stuff that we're meant to work through in this life. It's not only physical, you know, it's not only mm-hmm. It's not only energy and not only emotional, but it's also physical too. So like our bodies are processing it as well. And so there's always that correlation I notice even within my own life when I'm really doing a lot of relationship work and mm-hmm. I feel it in my reproductive area, like my cycle gets a little off, or, you know, our gut is so connected to our, to everything. It's like our mm-hmm. second, you know, it's our second brain. And so, it's when our nervous system is off, or when our nervous system is heightened and, we're experiencing stress or emotional stress, it's directly correlated to our emotions. So, you know, when we're doing a cleanse like that, it's, certainly that connection is there and it's having an effect. And so I think I've lived most of my life just kind of being detached from my emotions and how they take root and it manifests in the body. But you and I are hyper aware of that now. And so it's like fascinating to see.
When you realize too, that a lot of food really masks a lot of, you know, for me, my intuition, it almost like would calm it down. Mm. You know, when I first started developing, especially in mediumship, I would get this surge of energy through my body and I would just hurry up and eat something, 'cause that's what calmed it down. Like it was like my comfort, but that's what I leaned into, to comfort myself was food.
Right.
And so being on this protocol or this cleanse, it kind of removed all of those foods that I would lean into. Not kind of, it did.
Yeah.
It completely wiped them out. but the foods that I would really lean into to kind of suppress that feeling or those emotions, you know, like the sugar and the this and that, like, you know, everything, guys, everything.
Everything. Everything fun.
Everything, everything enjoyable and fun. I'm just joking. Actually, but I feel like, thank God you were here with me, because I don't know if I would have been able to do it, but I don't know. I feel like it really allowed me that first month to really sink into those feelings and what was coming up and what I was experiencing. And so I think it was, well, obviously in November when we went to New Mexico, I was being shown like, you need to like clean up your act. Well, for the whole year, but like really in November, it was like, these are things that you're going to be facing coming into the new year. And a big part of that, or the hugest, like a huge piece of that, was my dad.
Yeah. Right.
And so I think that I was like, my guides were like, let's just like rip off this Band-Aid.
Oh my God.
And let her get through that emotional part first before she really addresses one of the biggest emotional wounds in her entire life.
Yeah, of course.
You know? Yeah. And so when I arrived and when I went to Texas, you know, initially, I mean, you know, I was like, oh, maybe I'll have to cancel.
Yeah.
Because I was like thinking,
it was inauguration week. We didn't know what was going to be happening.
But to me, that was like an excuse.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I know a lot of people were concerned about traveling and like all of these things. But for me, it was more like, oh, maybe I can use this as an excuse of why I can't go. Mm. And then I realized what I was doing. I was doing like what I always did with my dad, was I would come up with an excuse where I would be like, oh yeah, I can't show up for that, because I didn't want to feel it.
Yeah. Right.
And so it was inauguration week and something was going down. I think they were saying they were going to close the airports or something. There was like something happening in that they were possibly going to like shut down some of the airports.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like, am I going to get stranded in Texas?
I know. I was like,
but I'm so glad I went, actually. The more I think about it, like every time I lean into it, I'm like, an amazing trip.
It's incredible. It's like magical to see how it went down and the timing and everything.
Yeah. I mean, we should like circle back here for a second, because I'm even thinking about how Charlie ended up coming. And so for like you guys that have been maybe following along, or hopefully you've been following along, you'll kind of know a bit about my journey with my dad. But like for me, it was really was a big piece of my healing. Like,
oh my God,
I've been really avoiding having certain conversations. It's like you turn into this little kid all over again. You're like, oh, can I say that? Am I going to hurt somebody's feelings or whatever? But my brother and I, we knew at the end of 2020 that it was really, really important that we book a trip to go see my dad. And I hadn't seen my dad in like 7 years. And then prior to that, it was probably probably another 7 to 8 years. Mm. And then my brother, he always kept in touch with my dad. So they would see each other more often. But my brother was like, I think we need to go. Because my dad had been pretty sick for 2020. He had like a, what do you call that?
A staph infection.
Sepsis?
Sepsis, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. He had like this weird knee injury and then it turned into sepsis. Mm-hmm. Long story short, he was hospitalized in a bed for most of the year. And then obviously then COVID.
Yeah.
Came in. And so he's been pretty like terrified to like leave his house and after he got out of the hospital and all the things. But my brother and I were like, we have to go see him. So initially it was supposed to be just him and I, and I didn't even think about it. It was just like, yeah, we need to go. Like, let's just go.
Yeah.
And so when we booked it, I think it was like a month and a half in advance. And so when it came creeping up, I was starting to feel that anxious feeling again. Yeah. I was like, uh-oh.
Ready to run, right? Yeah.
And I remember telling Allie, I was like, I think I might have to pull out of this because of travel restrictions. Even though intuitively I was like, Jessica, like you're just trying to like get out of this.
Right.
And then I think it was like 3 or 4 days. It was about a week before we left. I got a really strong download and it came in very clear. It was like, you need to bring Charlie and you need to go. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know why I didn't even think about bringing Charlie.
Yeah.
In the first place. Like it just was, I think I was just so wrapped up in my own experience of like, what is this going to be like for me?
Of course.
What is this going to be like for my brother? You know, we're both very protective of one another. I'm like walking into his environment with his wife, my stepmom, who I've had really not a relationship with at all.
Yeah. Yeah. We revert, especially with our relationship to our parents back mm-hmm. to our adolescence, you know, mm-hmm. our childhood. And so, it's hard for us to see outside of that, you know, mm-hmm. in those experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, but I remember something shifted in me, like right before we left, like it was like, I hate to even say this out loud, but I felt like I was like almost saying goodbye in a way. And I did at that time, I was like, why am I thinking that I'm saying goodbye to my dad? But what I realized was by the time I left that trip, I was like almost like saying goodbye to that relationship.
Yes, exactly.
But I literally thought I was preparing for like something big to happen to mm-hmm. him. And so I was like, ooh, I don't know if I want to deal with this, but at the same time, I know I need to. And, you know, during Christmas, my dad had called to tell the kids happy Christmas.
Happy too. Christmas, kids.
That works too.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. And my dad had asked Charlie, like, what's the one thing you want for Christmas? And Charlie was like, I just want to meet you for the first time. Mm-hmm. And even when she said that, I remember I was like, holy crap, like she hasn't met my dad. Like, yeah. It's like I knew, but then you don't like, you're not like, oh. God, she's only going to be 12.
Right. Yeah.
And even though they talk on the phone and even though they keep in touch, it was just like this, I realized I was not only protecting myself from my childhood trauma and pain, that I thought I was protecting my kids. Mm-hmm. But the truth is they've always had a relationship with my dad that was actually pretty pure and beautiful.
Yeah.
But it was just me like not wanting to experience any of those childhood pains or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Triggers. Yeah.
But anyways, so we get there. So I got on the plane, you guys.
Yeah. So she did. She got on the plane. I'm so proud of you too, because you were just, you know, like you just really dove in, you know, you decided to just go and you went for it, but the way that you approached it, like with the energy that you brought to it, is what really I think was so transformative.
Yeah.
For that experience, you know?
I think everybody was ready for something different. And so like my brother, of course, he was worried about me, and he wasn't saying it at first, but I could feel it. And I was literally like, I'm going and this is going to be amazing. Like I feel different. I feel lighter. You know, ever since that shift in November, I just was feeling like, oh, this is different. Like everything just felt different.
Yeah.
So my dad didn't know that we were coming. My brother wanted to surprise him. And I was like, I don't know. That's a good idea. because obviously of COVID, and he hasn't left his house, and I didn't want him to feel like, oh crap, like you want me to do go where, or you want me, you know what I mean? Like leaving the house and like all this stuff. I wanted both of them to feel comfortable in anything that they did or did not want to do. I didn't want, like, you know, my brother's from Florida and he's like guns blazing. He's like, everything's open. Like,
right.
Right. And then, you know, I'm the same way. I mean, it's true. I'm like, okay, like I'll wear the masks and do the things, but ultimately, like, I choose to live my life. Right.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, I don't want to come in there like disrupting their flow of whatever. And my brother's like, who cares? They're going to be fine.
Oh my God.
And
I love your brother so much. He's the funniest.
Funny. But so what he ended up doing, it was actually really funny. We have to say something. And he goes, well, I don't want him to know you're coming. I want him to be surprised. And I was like, oh, okay, we'll do that. But we have to figure out something. I don't want him to like be completely shocked or showing up at his door. And, you know, I don't know, like he's been really sad this year,
right?
You know? And, so my brother tells him, can you believe he told him?
Oh my God.
My brother is like, so like cut and dry too with my dad. He's like, Dad, I'm coming for a business trip with my business partner and her daughter. And he didn't think anything of it. He was just like, what? I'm going on a business trip with my partner and her daughter. And mind you, my brother's like married of like 20 years.
Yeah,
right. Four kids.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you told Dad that? Like, they probably think you're having an affair.
Right.
For like a month, they're thinking you're having.
Exactly. Yeah, he's probably like,
and he's
oh,
like,
God.
You think? I'm like, I would. If you called me and said, I'm not traveling with my wife, I'm coming with my business partner and her daughter, I would be like, uh-oh.
Yeah, right. Business partner. Okay. Yeah. Like, is that your daughter? I know. Do I have a granddaughter I don't know about?
I know. And so that's, you know, that's kind of how we came in. So he knew that my brother was coming. Mm. He had no idea that I was coming or even Charlie was coming. He doesn't do social media.
Yeah.
Thank God. I remember getting on the plane. I was so emotional. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is so different. Like I just felt different.
Yeah.
I felt supported by my ancestors. I just felt like this, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, I felt lighter, you know?
Yeah.
And Charlie was so excited to meet her grandfather. And so, I mean, she just was like, oh, I can't wait to meet him in person. He's so funny. Like, you know, she was just, which made me just like, be like, I just love you so much. How children can just remind you to just be in the moment.
Exactly. And just to see the good,
the
good in everything.
Yeah.
But you know, it's true. It's important to remember too, that she's doesn't have the experience that you do, right? Mm-hmm. She doesn't have the trauma. She doesn't have the childhood experience and memories and programming that you do with your dad. And so that's why, you know, everyone processes all relationships differently. But the beauty is that she is able to have that pure, that pure, like fresh slate, fresh start with him.
It was really cool. So,
so neat.
We got there on Friday, like late afternoon. And our intention was to like not meet up with them until Saturday. Cause my brother was like, oh, he said Saturday's better for him. And I was like, okay, whatever. No big deal. You know? And so we land at like 3 and my brother gets a phone call from my dad and he's like, are you coming over?
Oh my God.
My brother's like, oh, okay. I thought we were coming over tomorrow. I was just hanging out with my business partner and her daughter. We were going to go grab something to eat.
Oh my God.
And my dad's like, what are you doing? He's like, what? I'm just hanging out with my business partner and her daughter and we're going to get something to eat.
Oh my God.
And so you know, funny. My brother and his sense of humor, he's just like,
he's hysterical.
And I'm like sitting there and I'm just like, you are awful. So he kind of like he was playing a joke on my dad. He's like,
right.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to be able to make it because we have plans. And I was like, oh my God, stop, you know? So anyways, we end up getting like a bite to eat and then we head over there and, my dad had been texting my brother and he said, where are you? What kind of car are you driving? You know, he's like excited looking out the window.
Yeah.
And my brother's like, we're in a red Corvette convertible.
Oh my God. Oh my
God. We're like in a Sienna van or something. I can't remember what it was. And I'm like, he's like, what? And I'm like, you are just, so they're like literally looking out their windows for this red Corvette.
My God.
And my dad takes him seriously because he's like, I could totally see you doing that.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And so my dad, he can't, I don't say he can't walk because he can, but he hasn't fully walked without like a crutch or like a walker. I don't know. I guess it's been like months.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and when we would talk to him, he was like, I am not mobile. Like he's in a lot of pain. He's in a lot of discomfort. And so my brother and I, we were like, oh my God, what are we going to be walking into?
Yeah.
Like we were thinking we were just going to be crying the second we walked in the door. So I have like a mask on and it was cold. So I had this big jacket on because, you know, Sis loves a big coat.
Yes.
Charlie had a mask on. And my brother was driving in, and he put his mask on because we didn't know. We didn't know how they were going to – we just didn't know.
Right.
You know, we wanted to, like, make sure everybody was comfortable and, like, whatever.
Yeah, of course.
So we were pulling into the driveway, and we see this woman with these two dogs. And my brother's like, I think that's Maria, which is my dad's wife.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, is it? Because, like, she had a big beanie on, a big coat. Like, you couldn't – it was just, you know. And she's got these little dogs, and my brother drives up like a creep.
Oh, my God.
He's like, whips around her, rolls down my window. And I haven't seen her since I was 14 years old.
Oh my God. Wow.
No, that's actually not true. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said 14. That's like so far off. Cause my parents divorced when I was 18. So
yeah,
we're gonna scratch that. But I was like 18, 19, maybe even 20, like around that age was like the last time I remember spending time with her. And I forgot I had a mask on, this big jacket on, because I was just, you know.
Right.
So I'm sitting there. My brother like whips the car around and she's like has her dogs and she's like, go ahead. Like, you can go ahead. Like go ahead and pass me.
Yeah.
And my brother's just like looking at her like, hey. And he's got his mask on. I'm like, she can't see you. And he was like, he's like blinking at her.
Oh, my God.
And then she pulls the car a little closer to her and she just started bawling hysterically.
Aww.
Like uncontrolled. I was just like, oh my gosh, I wasn't expecting that. But she was just so excited because she knew how happy my dad was going to be.
Yeah.
That like all three of us were here. And apparently like my dad had been really sad since Christmas because my daughter had said, all I want is to meet you in person. And yeah. So my dad had been saying like every day, I have to get better so I can go see my grandkids.
Yeah.
And so she was like, he's going to be so shocked that you guys are here. She goes, we thought John was here on business with his business partner. And, you know, they still thought still thought a business partner was around with their daughter. It was so funny.
And then little surprise.
Little surprise.
Oh my God.
So then she was like, I'm not going to say anything. You guys just go ahead and go in. And again, I still remember John's like, do we take the mask off? And I was like, I'm leaving it on because I want him to be comfortable. Like he was in the hospital for the year. So I'm just going to leave it on and we'll kind of go from there. And so we walked in and my dad's like sitting on the chair and he's like, hi, nice to meet you. My name is John. And like, he was just like trying to be very comfortable and polite.
Right.
And I was like, hey. And then Charlie came in right after me. But again, she had a mask on.
Yeah.
And I think he was so caught off guard that people were in his space.
Right.
And he was just trying to be polite but wanting to see his son, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, hi, it's nice to meet you. And he was just like – he was so focused on being like polite and present.
Right.
That he was like, it's nice to meet you. My name is John. And then I said – I pulled my mask down like a little bit. I'm like, we know, Dad. And his face was like – I mean, I wish I could have had a picture of it because he was so shocked and he was like, whoa, what are you kidding me? And he was just like, you know, it was really cool to see him, you know, so happy. I could tell he really needed like something, you know, just something to get him through these tough times. Cause he had a really, really, I mean, like a lot of people that had a rough year, but he literally almost lost his life.
Right.
You know,
of course.
He said to me,
what?
Oh God. He goes, I'm like a cockroach.
Oh my God. Can't kill me. Oh my God. He has had so many near like life death. What is that called? Life death experiences. Oh my God. This is such an Allie thing. I can't remember any sayings, but
near death
experiences. Near death experiences.
Thank you. No, literally, literally. And, but yeah. And so, and this was the first time I've been around my dad where I literally felt like completely heart wide open. Just like
Wow.
Just present and without this like very immature shield around my space. And I know that he felt that. Mm. And because it was always like this dance back and forth between him and I, like he's either very like vulnerable and trying to see me. And I had to look back at this and I'm like, my dad has tried numerous times over the years to have a relationship with me, but I was so protective of my pain of being abandoned or hurt or like all the things. Right.
Yeah.
And so I would be like, I'm good. I was so standoffish.
Right.
And so I think me coming in this time, he was probably like, I don't care if she talks to the dead people or not. Look how happy she is.
Oh my God. I love it.
No, I'm kidding. Oh. But like, it was just different. I came in just completely raw.
And that's the incredible thing about really doing our own work, because, you know, when you approach, it's all about like how we approach the energy we bring to a situation. Mm-hmm. And so I kept thinking that with you, I'm like, you really set the tone for this, mm-hmm. for this container, for this reunion, for this healing to take place, because you brought with you the energy of an open heart. And the energy of an open heart is like, it is really hard for the other person to not receive that mm-hmm. in a very different way, you know?
Well, and you know what's really wild, Allie? I mean, think about this. My dad married this woman when I was 18 or 19 years old. Mm-hmm. He's been with her this whole time. He's basically he was like helped raise her children. Mm-hmm. They were very young. So I've had this stepmother and these stepsisters and brother that I literally like talk about turning things off and not wanting to feel or accept or like
detach.
Just be in denial.
Yeah.
My brother said to me while we were driving over there, he said, you know, I would really love for you to meet your stepsisters and your stepbrother. And I was so like shocked when he said it, because I hadn't even acknowledged the fact that for how many years?
20
years that I had stepsisters and a stepbrother. That's how like detached I was. I was like, I am not looking at this. I am not feeling this. I am not. And I think there was a part of me growing up that I felt like if I accept that, then I'm accepting what happened to my mother.
Mm, exactly.
Me again, exactly. Protecting, feeling the need to protect my mom, even though my mom never, ever once like said anything about my dad. She always wanted us to have a relationship.
Yeah.
But I was like going through all these ahas. I was like, holy crap. Like I was in such like fight or flight.
It's dissociation. You know, it's because it doesn't feel safe and it doesn't feel okay. And it's not something you want to accept because of the pain that was, you know,
it was wild. And, you know, it was so beautiful because I even felt different with her. I was just like, I was watching her take care of my dad and I was just like, like he's so lucky. Mm. Yeah. Cause she was, I mean, she just adores him, you know? And I couldn't ask for anything more than that. You know, they really care about one another, you know? But I got to actually see it from my heart and not from this like bitchy teenage self.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's too, you're in a different place and you have to like,
You have to
give yourself a little love. That 18-year-old you was just processing in the way you knew how.
That 18-year-old Jess was pissed.
Yeah,
She was pissed for a long time.
Yeah.
So it was just, and then just see Charlie with her family, and she literally the second she met Maria, my stepmom, she was like, "I'm going to call you Grandma. Is that okay?" Like, and she was like, "Yes." And I was like, "I love you, Charlie."
Oh,
like,
she's so open.
And they just like, I mean, we laughed so hard, like honestly. And I know my dad hasn't been that happy in a while because he's been through hell and back. He really has. And so, and it was just such a beautiful experience. And we were only there for, I don't know, three days. I think it's 3 days. But by the end of the first day, we were like already planning our next trip. And then I met my step siblings and I was just like, oh my God, I'm leaving here with another family. Like just felt like this really amazing, I don't know, like full circle moment. And my dad's mom kept coming through, who she passed away when I was very young. And she was so happy that we were there.
Yeah.
And my dad's usually a little shy about messages from spirit. You know, he's always like, ooh.
Yeah, right.
Even though he's a freaking wizard.
Because he's so psychic. Because he himself is so psychic, but that's a part of him that he's he suppresses.
Yeah, and, yeah.
And, you know, pushes away.
But she was coming through very loud and clear. We were driving. And, you know, my dad, he was talking about how he's like, I can't walk. He kept saying, I can't. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Dad, you can. You have to will yourself to. And I said, and I know you can. You just have to trust that your body will do exactly what you need it to, but you have to tell it, like, thank you for allowing me to walk and like all this stuff. And he was so open to it. He was just so, I mean, it was just wild. All of it was wild. So my brother and I,
oh my God,
here we come.
Yeah.
Florida and California.
Oh my God.
We bought my dad this walker with like wheels and a seat and we didn't give him an option. We're like, we bought you some Hot Wheels.
Oh, oh my God. I love it.
And I can tell he was like a little nervous because he was like, I don't know. Like I've been, you know, when you're in that mental capacity of, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And he, you know, I could tell he was allowing all of that stuff to be like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Right. But then I don't know. It reminded me of like one of those shows where like everyone's like, I'm walking, and they throw the walker on the ground. It was literally like, I just was like, whoa.
Oh my God.
So we had this walker delivered to the house. And my dad was like sitting in it, and he was walking around, and he was moving around, and I was kind of like, dang, he's gonna be really sore. He's God, moving right? around more than he has in a very long time. And the reason why we got it for him was because we wanted him to be able to go on walks outside,
right?
You know, because
it's so huge.
Yeah, because his space is very small. It's not it's not like they have like a ton of space, and so. But yeah, it was really incredible. He was moving around, and we were calling him Hot Wheels.
Oh my God! Of course, I love it.
Charlie was like Hot Rod. My dad was like, "Yeah, Hot Rod."
Oh, so cute.
But yeah, it was
so powerful.
It was a lot. Yeah, I mean, it was just. I feel like I was on this high the whole time, you know. And then I noticed my brother on the second day. He was a little edgy, you know, like a little. PMS-y.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's wrong with you? He was like, nothing's wrong with me. And I was like, okay, cool beans, whatever.
All right.
And then he ended up telling me, he goes, I think I was just waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't know what. And he goes, and that's just my old hang up. And he goes, I was just waiting for something to happen. And he goes, and I realized, like, stop doing that. Like, just enjoy yourself. And then we had the best time. So we ended up going to like this axe throwing place.
Yeah.
And my dad and my stepmom were like, oh, we'll go, but we'll just watch. And I think my stepmom, she actually wasn't going to go at all. But my dad was like, come on, like everyone's going.
Yeah.
And so we're like all throwing axes. And then literally my dad was like throwing axes. He was standing up about his walker. And he was like, and literally throwing them. I mean, these things are heavy. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, what is happening right now? It's just like everything was like moving and – it just felt really good. It felt good for me to see him being active and laughing.
Yeah.
You know, but
it's incredible because, you know, Jess, like not many people have that courage and that awareness to choose that healing before it's too late. Yeah. A lot of people have like these like sort of initiatory processes when we're kind of brought to our knees or we realize deep healing and change is needed within our lives. And a lot of times it's brought on, by traumatic experiences, like a death of a loved one or a loss, but you really chose to enter that container of healing and to commit to that, before it got to that point. And so you were able to experience and see this profound transformation take place within your relationship with your father and that healing, before it was too late. And so I just like want to honor you and say how much I think of you, you know, for doing that and for doing it for your kids and for doing it for your dad. And, it's not easy work. Like that's the deepest wounding, right? Like that's like you said earlier, that's your deepest wound.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And typically our relationship with our parents is, but you really did such an incredible job at seeing it from a place of unconditional love and choosing that, because it is a choice. Like you could have just continued.
I know. And I mean, I was almost like, who am I channeling right now? Because it almost felt
Mother Mary.
Yeah, something. Yeah. And I was just, yeah, it was, oh. It was a definitely, I mean, just to even meet and spend time like with my stepsisters and my stepbrother. I mean, they all haven't seen their parents in all year, obviously, because of yeah. COVID. And then, you know, my dad, when he was in the hospital, he couldn't see anybody. He couldn't even see his wife, you know? And so when he came home, he was like, no, 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 no. He didn't want to take any chances of getting sick or having to go to the hospital.
Right.
Because he had just gotten out of the hospital. He'd been there for yeah. months. And so, so they were like, no, we haven't seen them all year. And I was like, what? But you would have never known there was any like space in between anybody's relationship. Like we were all like having the best time and like mm. laughing and just really enjoying each other's company. And I can tell that there was obviously some healing that needed to take place even with her children. And so I forgot actually, because the older sister, she reached out to me before I left. And called me and she's like, I'd really like to talk to you on the phone before you leave. And I was like, absolutely. And so we got on the phone. She's just like so sweet. And she had shared, like, you know, we share similar experiences.
Mm.
And, you know, I forgot, like they were quote unquote victims of this whole experience as well.
Right.
You know, they, you know, their parents also divorced, but she was much younger than I was.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God. Like, again, it was like, how did I just completely shut that down?
But that's what we do, because it's, you know, that's what we do, is we mm-hmm. detach from our pain because yeah. it's too much. It's mm-hmm. too much to process. And not only, but, and also Jess, like not only are you processing for you, but you were also processing for your mom in a lot of ways
yeah.
because you are so protective of her.
Oh yeah. Super protective.
And it's like, it just goes to show that I think that we forget how powerful our energy is and how mm-hmm. powerful that, that our, like, I mean, I said this earlier, but when we do our work, this is a perfect example mm-hmm. of that. The work that you did, the work that you chose to do, allowed you to approach this situation and this experience with an open heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so that completely shifted and changed the energy of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were able to really like allow for that healing to take place and allow for her
mm-hmm.
to open up and for you to yeah. have that connection.
Yeah. I remember I was like hugging my stepmom at one point, and I remember thinking I could feel her pain, you
yeah.
know, like from my sacral
mm-hmm.
and how she just, I said to her, I want to thank you. It's going to make me cry. This is me getting yeah. emotional, right?
I'm just joking.
But I said, I just want to tell you that I see you and I want to tell you, thank you. I appreciate you taking care of my dad
mm.
because she's so much like my mom in a lot of ways. My mom is, that's how she expresses her love
yeah.
is through the way she takes care of you. And I was watching her, I mean, literally like just taking care of my dad, like there with him by his side, and they are literally at each other's sides. Like they don't leave each other, you know, they're just
yeah.
together, you know? And the way she was nurturing him and taking care of him, I was just like, thank you. Cause wow. I know that it's been hard, you know, and I can imagine what you guys have been through this last year and even the years prior. Cause I know that there were some other things that were going on, you know, prior to 2020, but, she just started bawling cause she was like, it's been really hard. You know, and it's just like one of those things, those moments of like, wow, like we think we know what people are going through
mm.
and people just truly want to be seen.
They do. And when you're able to provide that space mm-hmm. for them to,
yeah.
to have that
yeah.
and to also like to be seen and to be loved, you
mm-hmm.
know, and like for you to bring that love to that,
yeah.
to that transaction and that situation. It's yeah.
Yeah. It was,
so
it was good. It was
healing is quantum, man.
Oh, it is. And I have to say, I'm really impressed because one of the messages that came through from my dad when all this stuff was going on was, I was like, dad, they're saying you need to go to a chiropractor. Like his guides were saying he needs to go to a chiropractor. And you know, most people aren't really into chiropractors,
mm-hmm.
especially, you know, my dad's generation. They're like,
yeah.
they're wacky.
Yeah.
But my dad was like, I go every week. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, I'm like, good for you for listening. And he
yeah.
found this amazing doctor who, I had the opportunity of meeting because he did an adjustment on me, and he is taking care of my dad so well. But, and I'm just like, it's funny how like little things will come in and they stick.
Yes.
And then him and his wife were saying like, it's really helped him on an emotional level.
I bet. Just to have like a support, like a constant,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think for a lot of us throughout this year, it's been so hard to like anchor into something,
yeah.
you know, and to just have a constant, regardless of what that looks like, is just so incredibly helpful. So,
yeah. But, you know, wrapping up that trip, I felt like I was really on a high. Like yeah. I literally was like, I don't think I can feel any better. I feel amazing. And then to see Charlie, how happy she was. I mean, she, anytime we go visit family or people come stay with us or, you know, she's a little Cancer. And so she just loves being with family. She loves being with friends. And so she always cries. Like that's how she ends trips. She's always like, I'm just so sad. And so she was just like, I'm just so grateful, Mom, you know, thank you for bringing me on this trip. And it was really cute. I forgot to mention that my dad's really funny. And those are the things that I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm remembering these parts of him.
Yeah.
And you know, all the funny advice that he gives and all the things, but he was sitting with Charlie and he was teaching her card tricks, like magic tricks.
Oh my God.
For like hours. And she's like a little card shark now.
Oh, I bet. Oh man, she's so like
yeah.
sharp too.
Yeah, and she was like, I can't wait to go home and show everyone my card
and take everybody's money.
I know. And so she came home. It was so funny. She came home. She's like, Lola, I have a card trick for you. And so my mom's like, okay. And so she's sitting there, and it's a pretty long card trick. I think it involves like 22 cards or something. So it's not like it's like a very long drawn out thing. And so my mom, like she does it. And then my mom's like, I know this at the very end. She was like, I know this trick. She goes, how do you know this trick? She was like, I was married to her 20 years.
Oh my God.
And it was just kind of funny to even see my mom go, oh. I love that he's teaching her that, you know? But you know, coming home, I felt pretty high, but then I think it was like, I came home on a Monday. And then we went right back into the swing of things. I think we had like done some recordings and then we all had client sessions. It was like very like fast.
Yeah.
And then here we are in this like cleanse.
Oh my God.
The parasite cleanse.
Good Lord.
And my body was like, what are you doing to me?
Just screaming for integration.
Yeah. My corn DNA was like, stop.
Corn DNA was like, just give me a tortilla.
Just stop it already.
give me some GMO shit. Come on.
And I was like, this is getting really uncomfortable in my body, you know? But then I was getting that strong pull. I think we both did actually. It was like, lay down. You need to stop moving. And I was like, but I feel so good because I was just like on this high. I couldn't even imagine. Like I didn't imagine that trip was going to go that good, mm-hmm. you know? And so I just felt so good. And, but my guides were like, you need to integrate.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you had major breakthroughs and everybody did. And I was seeing the, like all the matching picture energy and what was happening, you know, within our family dynamic. And I was actually seeing future timelines and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And it just was like, ah, you know?
Yeah.
And, but my guides are like, you need to sit down, sis.
Yeah. It's like that sort of like, there's like sometimes often, or there's oftentimes a crash after mm-hmm. a big healing like that.
Oh no. Well, you saw me, you had to do like 6 healings.
I know. I was like, Jessica, you have a bunch of holes in your work field. You're very depleted. You have like no minerals.
I'm like, I know, literally you're like, you need trace minerals. I was like, oh my God. But I went from being on that trip and being around a lot of people, which is for me is a lot. Like it's
especially my family.
Yeah. And my 12th house like requires me to just unplug from everybody mm-hmm. and everything when I'm around too many people or in a noisy environment. And I didn't really have that because we were going, go. We only had 3 days. And I came back to a very full schedule.
Full schedule. Yes.
I think I had like 10 clients within 2 days back to back.
Yeah.
It was like crazy.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hit a wall and I was like, Allie, I'm dying.
Yeah. I'm like losing track of what week that was, but I'm very confused because I was gone too, but I.
Yeah. You were, I think you had went.
I think we were home together for like 4 days.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then you were off and running.
Yeah.
Yes. Cause I came back on.
That's right. You came back on like Tuesday. And I left on Saturday.
Yeah, because didn't I leave? I don't know why I'm not seeing it in my calendar here. That's so trippy. Mm-hmm. Was it in February that I went? No, I went in January.
The end of January.
The end of January. That's
actually
so tricky.
I don't even know. Oh, I don't even know what day it is.
I left on the 22nd.
Okay, that's
and
right.
I came back. Yeah, so there's my schedule. So yeah. And then we recorded. Oh my God. And that's when we recorded.
Oh, that's right. Now that.
Yeah.
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 We,
so we had a wild week. And by the time it was a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And we, I was just worked. I was worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, I mean, so this energy is like, I mean, this, we've talked about February for months now, months and months about how February 2021. And I think we both knew, you know, coming off of that conjunction, which was really big for both of us, of course, and for many of you as well, for everyone pretty much. But it was just so wild to see the things that were still like needing attention.
Yeah.
And this square that we have between Uranus and Saturn, the energy has been building towards that. And it's just like requiring us to really look at the things.
Yeah.
Like the areas in our life that still need quite a bit of healing. And I know I have had some, I'm getting like nailed in the relationship realm.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah, just. Yeah. I'm getting nailed all over the place too. And
yeah.
But do you remember we were talking the other day and you said, Jess, it's so wild because you were in a transit between January, I think it was the 17th or the 18th.
Yeah. It was direct or it was, there was a conjunction. It was, I'll have to look at that. I think I sent it to you. That's right. It was Saturn. What is it?
Saturn square Chiron.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. A Saturn squaring Chiron, which is Saturn is the dad planet, the planet of like lessons, like hard knock life lessons, you know, the ways we try to like parent ourselves and get parented. And then Chiron is our deepest wounding and a lot
which
of times
so
relating
funny.
To so, childhood.
Yeah. And so here I am in this transit.
Yep.
And I remember when you shared this with me, I was like, oh my God, that's wild, because I intuitively knew that if I postponed this trip, that I was going to be in like knee deep in pain and healing. Like I knew it. Like, and so I was like, oh, I got to just face this. I got to face this and like all that stuff. And so, but I'm still getting hit in other ways. Like even today when I was driving up here to Topanga, I was listening to a podcast where this woman was talking about relationships and breakups and how are you in your relationship with your father? And I was like, holy crap. Like I was still feeling this grieving happening of like this little girl. That makes sense.
Yeah,
right.
Of course.
And, but she had some really amazing journal prompts in there that I have to go back to and listen to, but
and,
yeah.
And I always find myself reminding clients of that too. It's like, we don't all of a sudden work through something like a big trigger like that, I always see it as like a ball. It's like sort of like a ball of energy. We don't always
like
just, yeah, with roots, like we don't always just, it just, it doesn't just dissolve after one interaction or like even it takes a lot of
time. It doesn't?
Yeah, I know, right? Like there's not a magic pill.
Wait, what do you mean?
Yeah. But what happens is, you know, we get to like the root of it, right? And we're able to dissolve a big piece of it. And then we get these little reverberations.
But then there's another layer.
Another layers. And it's just, it, opportunities come up for us to like, okay, let's get a little bit more now.
Yeah.
You know, let's dig
it's
a
like
little
wallpaper.
Deeper. It is exactly like wallpaper.
And that's what I was like experiencing. I was like, oh, okay. So I just like unplugged.
Yes.
The thing that was blocking me from looking at it.
Right.
And so now I have to like peel back even more.
Yeah.
And
I think like, you pulled out a big piece of it though.
It was, but I still like, I've, you know, I realized that, you know, when I was really little, I don't know how my parents didn't, I don't know. Honestly, when I was really, really little, I knew intuitively that my parents were not going to be together.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was really, really young, I used to literally tell my mom, Mom, you guys are a product of your own environment. I was like 7.
Yeah.
Who talks like that? And I would literally see them from that place of their experience. Mm-hmm. And I now know that spirit was showing me their childhood and how they were raised because I was not around it, right? Like my dad was in the Navy. He was gone for 6 months at a time. And so I would be getting all this information. And so I'd have like this understanding of like, oh, I know they're not going to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they're not going to do this. However, it still pains me.
Yeah,
right?
Of course.
And I would be very protective of my mom and like, cause I could feel what she was going through, even though she couldn't verbalize it. So I could feel it where my dad was much different, you know? And so my dad would just say how he was feeling, you know, it was so different, you know?
Yeah.
And, And yeah, and so I was like, when I was listening to that on the way here, I was like, oh, wow. I thought that I had a good, I don't know, what's the grasp yeah. around, you know, like why things were the way they were and like whatever. But that was like not from an emotional place. That was more like, oh, okay, this is a logical way for me to look at it. And so now I'm like, okay, now I need to address those feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we are children and we are, that's a good indicator. Okay. So like when you're a child and you're able to, when you have to dissociate like in that way mm-hmm. and pull out and see it from that intellectual perspective, mm-hmm. which our brains aren't even formed enough to do that. But it's like, so that's when you know that there's really deep work there, because that is requiring that's a way in which you weren't able to be nurtured. And mm-hmm. so you weren't able to emote mm-hmm. properly and grieve that mm-hmm. and grieve, you know, the discord that you saw between your parents because there wasn't space for it, which is okay. Like we all have stuff like that, you know, but now
there
it's like
a conversation too.
Exactly.
It's funny how we think like our kids don't know what's going on.
Oh my
right?
God.
So they would,
the conversation's so huge.
I would know things were going on even when they weren't talking about it. Mm-hmm. It was so loud for me. It was so freaking loud. I remember just being like, I remember saying to my mom, why don't you guys just get a divorce?
Yeah, right.
I'm like this little girl, like, you'll be much happier. Like I was like totally.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, like I look back at that little girl and I'm like, holy crap. Like I completely shut down my emotions.
Yeah.
Because I had to.
Exactly.
Or I felt like I had to be strong for the environment. I had to be aware. Yeah.
You know what's wild? I'm thinking about this too, because I remember while you were gone, I had a situation with a person, and it was similar, and it was a similar route now that you're saying that, because I as a child had to do that too. Mm-hmm. I had to shut off my emotions, because when I was processing some really big things for myself, my sister was processing really big mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
And my parents, all of their attention was geared towards my sister, because she had some pretty significant things happening. And so I shut down and I didn't allow myself or give myself space. Or as kids, we live a very self-centered world, because that's just mm-hmm. how it is. Like we're children. We need that, mm-hmm. you know? But I didn't see that I had space to properly emote either. And so when I have a situation that comes up where I'm given space to fully emote, I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, me either.
I don't know what to do with it, because I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm automatically like, no. I want to take care of you. Like I want you mm-hmm. to. And so I had, while you were gone, mm-hmm. it's so funny. We were both working through similar things, and I didn't realize it until now. But I had a trauma response, and I was on the phone with someone, and he gave me space to regulate, mm-hmm. and he helped me regulate, and it was all around. I had so much guilt afterwards, because I was like, well, what about you? Like, how are you feeling? Da, da, da. And he was like, Allie, you're allowed to have needs. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to emote. Yeah. You're allowed to take up space.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
And so it's similar mm-hmm. with you. It's like when we don't have that as children, you know, even if it's small, it's like it plays out in our lives now. So for you to have this space now to do this work, mm-hmm. it's so profound and similar for me too, you know?
Yeah. But it isn't interesting though, too, how you revert back to those childhood ways of coping.
Right.
And, because I still catch myself doing it. I mean, like we were saying something earlier and I was like, Allie, I'm crying on the inside.
I know.
And it's like, I feel it. It's almost like this volcano. And that's why my throat chakra is something that it's like one of the biggest centers for me, because I always feel it. Like I was not allowed to express myself when mm-hmm. I was little. I was not. It was just kind of like, you know, that's just the generation that it was. It was be seen, not heard. Don't talk back. Do not. It was very much like, So I'll feel things come up, and then it comes into my throat, and then I internalize it. But I'm not emoting.
Exactly.
You know?
So you're detaching.
Exactly.
Right?
And so it's like,
trauma response.
Even though I'm feeling it in my body, like mm-hmm. I'm having an emotional breakdown in my body,
right.
it's not coming out through my eyes, through like, I mean, I think the last time I had like and it was like a breakdown. It was around my dad. It was before 2020, but I literally was in the fetal position and I was like shivering and I was like, oh my God, I've been holding this in mm-hmm. for so long. And that was the last time I had like a breakdown. Like, no, actually that's not true. I had a breakdown last year.
Yeah. Yeah,
I did. Sis did. But yeah, I feel like did. I should have more.
Well, you should have more. Yeah. Well, I shouldn't. I will never say should.
But you know, like.
But yeah. Like. Yeah. Like you have some pretty. It's not like your life is butterflies and rainbows. No. Like.
But I mean, yeah. Like I catch myself and I go, oh my God, I'm so irritated, yeah. or I'm so angry, or I'm so blah, blah, blah. And then I like stop. Hmm. Like, and I want to be able to just, like you said, just. Be just
yeah.
cry just like cry. Just fully cry like just let yourself get ugly
yeah God you know, I mean you know I can get ugly I mean,
like you know what I mean yeah. like and so I don't know I just feel like I want to keep peeling back those layers so that I can allow myself to fully you know like yeah. I said integrate and just be and have those emotions and not feel bad about them
right. You well, know. And it takes work though. It takes work. It takes, an incredible thing is to do that work with another because yeah. when we allow
I'm good someone, at getting angry.
Well, there you go. You got a warrior spirit down, but right. But like, listen yeah. to how you were conditioned. Your oh, dad yeah. taught you how to,
oh no, he taught me how to be a warrior.
Anger. Exactly.
Like when we were throwing axes, my dad was like, there she goes.
Yep.
Cause exactly. I was like double right. axes, like,
yeah,
I was like channeling my
yeah
indigenous.
Elders. Yes, right.
Literally.
It's so true.
Like things like that, like where I can, because I know how to direct my energy in that way, mm-hmm. like where I'm like, oh, I need to be powerful. I need to be a warrior. I need right. to be tough. I need to be strong. Like that for me is like,
yeah,
it's golden.
But that's that the other thing.
Stuff. I'm like, I want to be
yes, softer. Be softer. Yes. Yeah. And that's okay, you know, mm-hmm. But it takes time and it takes like, the only way I can see it is just it's like when those opportunities arise to like meet it mm-hmm. and allow it to stay. And like, so when we can take those things through our bodies and it's all about the nervous system at the yeah. end of the day, it's all about the nervous system and regulating it. And how can we self-soothe and how can we, but if we can do it with another person, man, yeah. that is where it's like relationships are the most powerful alchemical container mm-hmm. on this planet. And when I had that experience with that person, he said something that was very triggering for me. And this was funny because I think it was mm-hmm. the day you left. And so I didn't even talk to you about it until we got home and you were like, what? ¿Qué pasó? Pardon. but I started seeing black and I have this trauma mm-hmm. response when I get really triggered that mm-hmm. everything glazes yeah. over and I can't see. And I got really quiet and he's like, are you okay? And I was like, honestly, something you said just like really triggered me and I'm in a trauma response. And he's like, okay. And he sat with me through it and mm-hmm. allowed me to like, and my first, like, so, you know, what is my response? My initial response was, I have to go.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go because I wanted to deal with it on my own. I didn't mm-hmm. want to bring him into that. Yeah. I didn't want him to let him see me in that way because it's a kind of a newer thing. And I didn't want to take up space. Mm-hmm. I didn't want him to have to sit in that with me. And he literally was like, Allie, I want you to know that it's okay for you to take up this yeah. space. And I want to stay in this with you. And I was like, what?
You're like, shall we get married?
Shall we get married? Hello.
Hello.
that's my other drama response. So anyway, he helped because his immune system or his nervous system was regulated. He was able to help regulate mine. And so that alone, that neurological, mm-hmm. that creating new neural pathways.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so powerful. So like mm-hmm. the experience that you had with your dad, like bringing it back to that, it's like that is – for you to see, it's like literally rewiring your brain mm-hmm. for you to like be able to go back to your experience as a kid and see it now.
Yeah.
And to completely reframe that. Like that's so powerful.
Well, even you know? Like my dad, I mean, he was, you know, I mean, my dad is full of stories. Like he's a storyteller and he's hilarious. But he was actually really opening up about his childhood. And I've learned about his childhood from his mother and his father who are in spirit. Mm. But to hear him say some of the things that I was shown that he has never shared with me in his entire life, I was like, wow. something's happening
here. Yeah.
You know? And I appreciated him sharing those things because I know that it's hard. You know, like we all grow up with these pains and traumas, and my dad grew up with a lot of pain and trauma, and so did my mom, you know? And, you know, my mom, she's the one talking about, like, not talking about things.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm always like, mom, tell me more. She's like, I don't know, honey. I don't remember. Yeah, I'm like,
and she might not.
I know. Just, I don't think she does.
Yeah. I mean, we're real good as humans.
Oh, yeah.
But it's there, of
it's
course.
There. Yeah.
It's in the subconscious. It's just that she, like, can't consciously. Most of my childhood, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
Well, there's, like, there's only like I'm pretty good at like from fifth grade and like forward, but like beyond that or like before that, there are big gaps for sure.
Yeah.
Which shows me where I need to spend my time.
Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So it's, I know just coming back, I feel like for me, it's, you know, February for me, it was really about being in the body, like fully being in the body
and not trying to fix it,
right?
Yeah.
Just being in it and like,
and all this is in your sixth house.
It's all my sixth house.
Yeah. And mine is all in.
Yeah.
Well, talk about how trippy. Like mine's all around my throat chakra. Like,
yeah.
I mean, my thyroid's been off for years and stuff, but all that. So Aquarius is split between my third and my fourth house, and all of it was Saturn, Jupiter. All of that was like while it was leaving my third house, entering my fourth, squeezing me, to use my voice.
Oh yeah.
Squeezing.
I know. Remember, so, I'm like, Allie, you're supposed to be talking to
I know. And I'm like, yeah, I know. My third house is screaming at me. And it's so funny because even with that situation, it was like this idea of like, allow yourself to speak through this, allow yourself to speak through this, to talk, to emote, you know? And I was like, oh my God, you know, and then just like other ways in which even my going on this trip with my parents, like so many triggers with my parents, so many. I immediately reverted back to my old behaviors, my old patterns. I felt like a little kid.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Interesting.
And well, yeah, like for you, it's like using your voice. And for me, it's like, I was feeling it all in my body, like pain.
Yeah.
Like I think I told you, I was like, I feel like my bones are crumbling.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how we can revert very quickly, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where those emotions are stored. It's in our subconscious.
Trying not to sneeze right now.
Oh yeah.
I feel a sneeze coming.
Listen to your body. let it out, girl.
I'm about to blow up your spot. Y'all.
Yeah. Seriously. but it's anyway. True. Yeah. I mean, I think, all this is coming up to be cleared and to be
having said that. We're done with our cleanse.
Yeah, we're done with our cleanse.
Well, I am. I mean, you're almost done.
Yeah, my skin cleared up, which is nice.
Yeah.
But I feel like I need to do another round, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I can do that one again.
No,
I might
okay.
I think I might have to do like a liver cleanse.
A liver cleanse. Maybe we should do that. Should we do a liver cleanse?
Anybody want to do a liver cleanse?
Yeah. But we have some things to talk about.
We
besides
do.
Childhood trauma.
Besides our childhood trauma and our relationship with my dad.
Yep.
Which... as you guys are,
I'm
here
so
right now.
Number one. Can I say thank you for sharing that? You're
you're welcome.
I mean,
thank you for listening. Thank you all. For
I think you guys have we're on episode 30 now.
Oh my God!
And this podcast started out with us being really scared to share, and like, look at you just got through that whole conversation like a badass, and you
feels good.
I'm glad.
I feel really good.
Really
like, because I mean, you saw me. Like, I was like bawling my eyes out in November. Like, how am I going to tell him? Like, I just want him to be with me. Like, remember, I was just like, and like ultimately my guides were showing me like, this is not about him.
Yeah.
This is about you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's me.
Yeah.
Oh,
what do you
it's
mean?
Me again.
Hello. It's me again.
Hello. So no, but thank you. And, and I appreciate, our listeners. They've been messaging me and asking me about how my trip went with my dad, because I forgot that I actually posted it on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And it feels like forever since I've gone and come home, but I'm glad that we waited so that I could really allow myself to really be in it, because my body has been going through so much.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that,
you know what?
Experience.
I feel like our fathers have, so we talk a lot about like the
our
feminine.
Daddies.
Yeah, our daddies have. But you know, we've talked a lot about the feminine, okay? And it is the rise of the divine feminine. And it's not because the men aren't rising as well. It's because the feminine has been suppressed for centuries and thousands of years, of course. But at the end of the day, the patriarchy is harmful to men too.
Yeah.
You know, and so our fathers were raised in very, very hard conditions to be men and to be soft men. And so we all have a lot of daddy stuff.
We got daddy issues.
We got daddy issues. I mean, and I like my, my dad's a unicorn. He's a Pisces unicorn. He's incredible. But that doesn't mean there's stuff, not still stuff there, you know? And so I think people really relate when you share that because it's been a huge healing in your life. And I know. Well, so good job.
I hope to share more. We're planning another trip to go see them, but we're bringing everybody, my brother and his four kids and my sister-in-law and my family. And we're going to go invade Texas so that we can all be together and hang out with our step siblings and their family and a little bit of a reunion, which will be really good. And I am looking forward to it. I really am. Yeah. And so again, thank you everybody for all your love and support. I appreciate it.
Yeah. We have a good community.
We do. We have a really rad community.
Which brings us to
dun 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 dun.
We should have a band.
Quit while you're ahead.
I think I'm done with this podcast.
Actually, they probably stopped it like an hour ago.
I don't know if anybody even listens, but if you do, thank you.
I know. No, we are really excited, you guys. Yeah. We are hosting a very, very intimate in-person day retreat.
Yes.
And it is very limited in a sense that we are going to keep it to a very, very small group. We are hoping to invite 5 of you to join us here in Topanga at this lovely treehouse where we will gather and do some healings and make some sacred
altar pieces. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Do some lovely work together.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's going to be an all day thing pretty much.
We've been getting this message for a while that we needed to do a retreat, but we were all just kind of like, man, we don't know about, you know, virtual is so incredible, but like if we could do it in person. Yeah. And so we're doing it and we'll of course be like abiding by, you know, health guidelines and stuff and we'll make it safe. And, but it's,
and you'll, I think be, and you'll be on a gluten-free, corn-free.
Oh my God. Okay. So that was, so we're setting this up and just, I was in Washington State and Jess and I were texting back and forth and I was like, well, we should really, you know, make sure we ask people about dietary restrictions. And she goes, if you have any more dietary restrictions than what we have going on right now, you're just dead. There's nothing else.
I'm like, I don't know what else we could take away from these people.
I know. So, but it's, anyway. It'll be incredible. We're so excited. I think we're all craving community and connection. And so we're going to do like some shamanic journeying. We're going to start out with a cacao ceremony, a heart opening. It'll all be around this, what we just talked about, embodiment and bringing, connecting into that heart space, which is the bridge between, you know, spirit and earth. And so,
be on the lookout for that. We're going to announce it soon here and we will have the enrollment open for a short time because we are, I'm sure it's going to fill up really fast. We have to tell everybody thank you for praying for Arlo. Oh my God.
I talk about getting emotional. He's
He's been
through it.
He's a good mascot.
He's a good mascot. He's my angel baby. He is doing well. We still don't know quite what happened, but
he's ascending.
I mean, literally, he's like he's going through the upgrades too. He's like, I'm gonna have to go to Egypt with my mom.
Well, you know, it's really funny. Allie was putting eardrops in his ears. I go, what are you doing? She was like, he has an ear infection. I go, do you remember he said that? Like, listen, he's more woke than all of us. Oh. Like he's giving us all the goods.
Yeah. But he and Jess have a straight up direct line soul phone connection.
No, we do.
They just chat all the time.
It's so funny. Oh, so we were, he wasn't feeling good. And I said, we need to find an animal communicator. And he like laughed.
Yeah.
And he was like.
And then I laughed and I was like. We do because I'm staring at one.
Well, because I was telling her everything that he was expressing to me and I don't do this for everybody. I will do it for some of my clients if it comes through and like whatever, but Arlo and I are like, we're connected.
Well, you guys are, I mean, he loves you so much.
Yeah, he does.
He loves you so, so much. And I think, that you have a very special connection. He's and I'm so, so grateful sweet. For that. And with your family too, your yeah. kids and Paul and even Lola.
I know. She Lola loves him. And Lola's not an animal person at all, but she's loving Bunny too. Let me tell you.
She's so cute.
But anyway, it was really, really sweet. Like he's just so sweet.
Oh, he's my baby angel. Yeah.
But anyways, we were like, well, we should get an animal communicator. And then he giggled and, but anyways, and all the stuff that he expressed, he was right on because the doctor said.
Yep.
What did the doctor say? Exactly.
We'll have to do another episode
on that.
I think I – talk about integration. I think I need therapy.
Yeah, you do. She was a mess. I felt so bad for her. Oh, my God.
You know, because it – well, I don't want to go into it with this time, but it's – talk about Mercury retrograde and having me revisit that. It had me revisit my relationship with my ex-husband. It had me revisit the trauma that I experienced when Arlo was sick when he was younger and – which was a big piece of my spiritual awakening. And so, so it was a big revisit, but I was actually really proud of myself because I also was able to see all the ways in which I've shifted, you know, so it's cool stuff. The main point is that he's doing better and he's eating a crap ton of chicken rice.
Yeah. And he's surrounded by 4 selenite logs.
Yes. Literally, like he's like in a bed of selenite. We're getting him a selenite.
I was like, collar. I was like, we need to make him a selenite collar. He needs his own talisman. He does. He takes on a lot.
God,
he's a healer for sure.
He is for sure.
But anyways, you guys, thank you so much for listening to me spill the beans. I appreciate you. Thank you, Allie. Love you so much. Sis.
Love you so much. Appreciate you.
And you guys have a good week.
Yay.
Bye. Oh, wait. Hold on. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review.
Yes,
and please. Share with a friend or a loved one. Okay, bye.
Love you guys. And happy Valentine's Day.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a 5-star review, share with friends and family, and follow us on Instagram. For more details on this episode, please see the show notes. Thanks for your support and thanks for listening.